Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
If the life of Jesus in the early church was a play, the Gospel of Luke would be Act 1 and the Book of Acts would be Act 2. The earliest Christians built their community about what they stood for, not what they stood against. The earliest church was about being witnesses to God's love in their own life and telling that story. And so, shouldn't we be about that too? So, to recap, if the life of Jesus in the early church was a play, the Gospel of Luke would be Act 1 and the Book of Acts would be Act 2.
Well, they had a problem. I mean, like a real problem. They had people that weren't getting enough food. Now, I say that, and I recognize that I'm talking about a type of food insecurity. And when you hear that, you might not know who or what I'm talking about, because commonly, food insecurity has been a problem throughout many days of human life. And in fact, actually, it's a very common problem. Now, the group of people that I'm thinking about were the earliest followers of Jesus. And when I say early, I mean like in the first few days, like the group right after the resurrection early church. And they had a problem. They had a group of people that weren't getting enough food. They weren't getting enough food because they were being ignored. Now, like I said, this is a very common problem, but it was one that they faced. And as we know, they faced problems then, like we're facing problems today. And if we can take a look at how they faced the problems and how they solved those problems, then it can help us now. So we can take a look at what they did. But we need to hold that thought for just a moment. Now, we're in week two of a sermon series called Act Two, because like we've been saying, if you think about a play or a musical where the life of Jesus is Act One, then Act Two is the days of the early church. Now, if we think about these things as like a play or a musical, like, can we be honest? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus was played by Lin-Manuel Miranda in one of these things? But I digress. But if we think about it in this terms, then we know we're in Act Two. But what's different about this play or musical is that it's not just about the people then, it's also about us today, because there's a big to be continued at the end of Act Two, and that's what we're all about. Because anybody who's a follower of Jesus is following in the steps of the days of the early church. Now, in the days of the early church, this amazing thing was happening. They were doing amazing things and experiencing God's blessing, and they were adding people to their group in the thousands by the day, it says. What was happening is that God had inspired these early followers of Jesus to share the message that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and in so doing, were telling people that he was the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for. And with this message, plus what they were doing for people, meeting their needs, making sure that people had all the food they needed, making sure they had meals in common, they were celebrating the gift of God's love, they were doing all these things, and God was blessing them and adding people to their number. And you know what happened is they kept doing this, and you know what happened then? More people joined. And you know what happened after that? They kept on doing these things, and more people joined. And eventually, they had a pretty big group of people. And with a pretty big group of people, problems naturally develop. But the reality is they were adding people in, and what was happening is that people were coming into the movement because of this very fact. People liked what, in general, they liked what they saw. And when people like what they see, then they're gonna join. And the bigger your group get, then there's gonna be problems, because sometimes when a group gets bigger, problems develop. Now, the particular problem they were having, as I mentioned before, is that there were these groups of people, and one group of people in particular, these widows that weren't getting enough food. Now, in the early days, the church was starting to grow, and eventually they got to the point where people were, they were big enough that they were speaking different languages. And in fact, they developed into some different groups. And according to the book of Acts, there were two main groups of people that were going on and growing in the early church. There were the Hebrews, and then the Hellenists. Now, that might not sound like much of a difference to you, but it is. And here's how they differed, is the Hebrews spoke Aramaic, and the Hellenists, they spoke Greek. Now, this might all sound like Greek to you, but this was a big difference, because Aramaic was the common language of the people of Israel, the Jews. That was the language that Jesus would have spoken in his everyday, ordinary life. I think sometimes we have an idea that they spoke Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, but that was like the ceremonial language that they would have read in temple, and they would have had a fail rate, but Jesus would have been one of the most proficient readers and speakers of ancient Hebrew. But they spoke Aramaic. But there was another group of people who were Jewish, who were people of Israel, but they spoke Greek. And they spoke Greek because that was the common language of the ancient civilization of Rome. And the problem is that if you have a group that's the Hebrews and a group that's the Hellenists, one who speak Aramaic and one who speak Greek, eventually you're gonna have divisions. Because the group that speaks Greek, the Hellenists, well, they were more assimilated into the Roman culture. And the traditionalists, the Hebrews, they wouldn't have liked that, and they would look down on the people, and divisions started to follow along those lines. Now, the reality is that they had problems not only in respecting each other, but also speaking to each other because they had different languages. And so naturally what happened is, eventually, the Hellenists were complaining because their widows weren't getting enough food. Now, like I said, this is a very common problem then and common now, that there's food insecurity issues of the kind where people don't know where their next meal is coming from. And when you're facing one of these issues, you've got to solve these issues. You got to try. And so that's exactly what happened. So the Hellenists complained and brought this complaint to the attention of the disciples, the 12 apostles, as we think about them. And they then heard the complaint. And according to the text, it went right from them, you know, talking about the complaint to solving the problem. But we also know that human people, well, we don't change very much. So I'm guessing that in the midst of the problem emerging, there was probably some complaining and some arguing and some name-calling that went along before they got to the solution. Sound kind of familiar? The reality is, then, I bet also the disciples probably took a crack at solving it themselves because, you know, they're good leaders and they would attempt to solve it themselves. But they realized they couldn't do this. And so they had to come up with something else. And that's what they did. And so they just talked to the people, and here's what they said to them. They said to them, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." So they present this to the group, and the good news is that the group says, "This is pleasing to us." And they say, "Great." And so they go ahead and they decide that they're going to appoint 7 men to take on the role of managing the food distribution. And here are the 7 men they pick. They pick Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon. I gotta say, I wanna say Pumbaa there, but I won't. Parmenius and Nicholas. These 7 men become the first men devoted to the distribution of food so that everybody could have what they need. And the beautiful thing is that it worked. And it worked great. Because you know why? And you know how we know? It doesn't come up again. And if it was an ongoing problem, we would have heard more about it. Now, the beautiful thing is that the widows that were the Hebrew widows and the Hellenist widows then had the food they needed, and presumably they all got back on track to doing the things that added to their numbers. And it says that after this solution, their numbers grew again. Now, that's a beautiful reminder of what needs to happen in the life of our church today and the life of the church back then, how it happened. And there are 2 key takeaways that I think we can have from this lesson. The first of which is what they did, and the second of which is how they did it. Now, staring at its face value, we can see that they had a problem of food insecurity. It was an issue for them, and they decided that they were going to address it. And we can learn from their example that we need to continue to do our part to address food insecurity in our day and age. Now, I'm so proud and so honored to be a part of a church, our church, that takes on the issue of food insecurity. and how great we have from an effort from our missions committee and our missions leadership to take on these issues, to inspire us and to lead us through these efforts. But we know that the food insecurity issues people are facing are growing more and more every day, especially in this day and age. And so we need to continue working towards solving the issue of food insecurity. And I know we will, and I know you want to be a part of that. But there's another lesson we can have from what they did in that time, and that is what the leadership did at that time. They recognized that there was a problem to solve, but that a small group of people couldn't solve this problem. And so what did they do? They enlisted more people to be involved with that solution, because they knew what's so true is that everyone who is a follower of Jesus, that every follower of Jesus has a calling to serve. That it isn't just a select group of people, but it's all people. That everyone has a role to play. And the disciples in the early church saw that, and they were inspired to make sure that people were brought into the role they wanted to play. Now, of course, this is a very important thing at all times, but this is an extra important thing for us right now, because we are facing more and more challenges in this day that we're facing. The last year, the pandemic has really forced into the foreground many of the challenges that we're facing. And as we know, they're just getting bigger and they're just getting more difficult to solve in some ways. So there's a time coming when we're going to need all followers of Jesus to do their part, to embrace the calling to serve, to make sure that people experience what God wants for them. Now, this is going to happen in many ways, and it's happening now for some, and it's going to happen for all of us when it's safer, pandemic-related, at a later time. And the fact of the matter is, we need to be ready for this. So maybe your chance to serve is happening now. Maybe you'll be ready to serve or feel safe to serve in new ways coming up. The reality is that we need to be able to do this when our time comes. For some of us, it's now, and for some of us, the time is coming. But we need to embrace the calling that God has for each one of us in this time. Now, I do want to say that I think many of our church leaders have done an admirable and commendable job of embracing their leadership roles throughout all the pandemic, and have been super impressed by those who have been able to embrace hands-on serving at this time. But we need to lean and look to their example to inspire the rest of us to make sure we continue to do our part as the time comes to be. So it makes me wonder, when the time comes, are you going to be willing to serve? When the time comes, will you respond to the call that God has placed on all of us to serve those in need? I sure hope you will. I sure hope I will. We are facing some challenges today that aren't new. They're challenges that the early church faced. We're facing challenges that God wants us to take face on, and he wants us to work towards removing and solving. Food insecurity is certainly one of them. But God wants and needs every one of us to do our part to help this happen. Now, how do we know that? Because we're in the midst of this big play, this big story, where Act 1 is the life of Jesus. Act 2 is the days of the early church. But Act 2 doesn't end with a V end. It ends with a to be continued. Because it's not a story that's over. It's a to be continued that is a to be continued by us. It's a to be continued that is by you. It's a to be continued that is by me. So let's embrace the call that God has placed on every one of us to live into this calling to serve those in need.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.